Hello, and welcome to Recent Activity, your new favorite entertainment review podcast that attempts to cover every film, every show, all at once. I am your co-host, Andrew Morgan. With me, as always, is a man who's never too war-torn to try on a dress, Mr. Shane Beauregard. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you doing?
I've been waiting days now to say that line. I'm so happy it landed. Good to see you. We are doing probably a little shorty this week. We're covering Alex Garland's Civil War. Might touch on a little something TV-ish at the end just to kind of give some initial thoughts on some things that have come out recently. But looks like we're doing a little more in-depth one here. I hope it's worth the effort. You saw this a little more recently than me, but yeah, we caught it over the weekend. It did quite well, especially as far as A24 movies go, did a $25.7 million domestic-only opening weekend. I am very curious how this is going to do internationally. We'll obviously get into some details there and where this might go. Of course, this is done by Alex Garland, that of Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men, 28 Weeks Later, etc., etc. Or 28 days. Did he do both? Or is it just 28 days?
28 days.
Right. Okay. But of course, you know, that's a mixed bag of movies right there. Mostly it just Men soured the group
exactly.
For me. Otherwise, I'm a big fan. And this movie is getting very well reviewed in a large way. There are some detractors, of course, but 82% Rotten Tomatoes score with a 77 audience score, 77 Metascore, 7.6 IMDb, and a 3.7 Letterboxd. It's pretty consistent in terms of where it is. This is a movie about a journey across a dystopian future America, following a team of military-embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. This movie, man.
Let me hear it, brother.
Well, I'm so, like, especially, I know you, man. I know you. I wonder so much how you feel about this movie. Because, again, you don't even want to see this movie, probably, if you think it's going to go a certain way. And this movie is very interesting because, well, let me hear from you first. When you see the trailer for this movie, we kind of, like, earmarked this as, like, oh, man, this might be, like, a real, like, divisive, politically heavy or just way too intense, you know, version of what could be a future in America in some people's minds. And what did you think when you saw the trailer? Because I want to see how it lined up for you is kind of where I'm seeing this.
Yeah, pretty much what you just laid out. I was expecting heavy politics, a lot of war scenes.
Right.
I guess more action-packed, right?
Yeah, okay.
And I was saying it because of Garland, he does do some divisive things in his film.
Sure.
So I was expecting to evoke this like visceral feeling from me.
Yeah.
Going into this film. So that was my barometer. I was like, all right, I'm going to feel some kind of emotion, but I'm ready. Like, the trailer set me up like, this is, we're going to go, go, go. Who knows where this is going to land? It's going to make some people upset.
Yeah.
So that's where my thought process was heading into the theater.
Yeah, especially if you see a presence like Jesse Plemons' character in the trailer, you're like, this is going to be intense. And especially, and again, knowing Alex Garland's reputation, his prior films, the one interesting thing I did not know is that Alex Garland's, I believe his father is a former journalist. So I didn't know that, especially I didn't know that this movie would be so heavy into a certain type of character in the leads, like, and how we are going to follow this story along. And I think now knowing that there is a journalistic background, and obviously Alex Garland was a novelist before he got into movies and everything else, but I didn't think that. I think there's a certain level of appeal to Alex Garland doing a movie about journalism, essentially, because that's the one thing I think struck me when I'm watching this movie is like, oh, this is not going to be as crazy divisive, because we're seeing this whole thing in a very voyeuristic way based through the press that is available at the time and these characters that are our main characters. I mean, yes, you have your Nick Offermans, your Jesse Plemons and things like that as kind of the more extremist dressing around all this, but we're seeing the world through Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, Kaylee Spaney, characters like that who are photojournalists and or just writers, you know, going through this period of civil unrest in America. And the thing I would say is that I had Apocalypse Now a lot on my mind when I was watching this movie, but also in a sense of like, if you compared the two, there isn't a comparison. Like in the sense of Apocalypse Now does a way better job with, yes, it's a voyeuristic thing, but at least you're doing it through a soldier and a soldier's viewpoint of seeing the de-evolution and the craziness that happened in the Vietnam setting.
Right.
I have so many things on my mind. I almost want you to like kick me off because I have a million types of thoughts, because like I just said, it's a voyeuristic war journalism movie that has kind of no interest in the politics or very little. And it's not that interested in the coverage as itself either. And it doesn't want to give us details on how the war evolved or the history thereof. We get like drips and drabs. So it's kind of cold, detached, but it wants to be a thriller. So I'm all over the place. So I'm curious where you landed, and maybe I can kind of touch bases as we go here.
So once you kind of get readjusted to what this film actually is, because that's what you kind of have to do, right? Because going in, I thought is one thing, and then about 30 minutes in, I'm like, no, it's something else.
Yes.
But I got into that groove. I'm going to be honest with you. And it kind of reminded me, you brought up Apocalypse Now, but it reminded me of the second half of Full Metal Jacket, because a lot of people don't remember the second half of that movie, but Joker, Private Joker, was a journalist.
Yes.
And that was his job in Vietnam. So that's kind of what it reminded me of somewhat, to get that point of view.
Sure.
From that perspective. But I was surprisingly in this movie, like in it, like I was digging the character study of this group, headlined by Kirsten Dunst as Lee, who's kind of like just famous, probably the famous war photographer currently going in this era that we're watching. And then her partner, Joel, who's like an adrenaline junkie, wants to be in everything. And, they bring Jesse along.
Yeah.
Who, let's just put it this way, is like Kirsten Dunst's younger self, pretty much. So you can kind of see how that evolves. And it goes into a total like circle of life kind of thing. It comes full circle with those two.
Yeah. Within days, though, this is the timeline gets a little murky with the progression,
it definitely does. But you get to see like Kirsten Dunst kind of not PTSD, but she's kind of war torn. She kind of gets shell shocked, especially like the last scene as they're going into DC. We kind of see some of that stuff affect her, where like Jesse all of a sudden has grown more of a set of, cojones.
Right.
And she's just going all out when she was timid at the beginning of the movie. So, yeah, that, like you said, that time frame where like they switched, but you got to kind of take it as it is. But yeah, and there are some scenes in here, quickly moving as they were, that can cause like a visceral reaction, like the scene where the guy's in the tube and they set him on fire. I was like, that was pretty graphic, right? I mean, that's crazy, right? But what I didn't get is like after the movie, I keep reading like, oh, people were just so caught up and angry about this movie. And I'm like, why? Like, it didn't. Because like you said, I honestly didn't need to know what caused the war, because I thought about that. I'm like, well, what set this off, right? Like, why? But honestly, I didn't need to know that the whys and the hows of where we are now, because you can kind of like put yourself in there mentally and kind of project like, yeah, okay, Texas makes sense. They've been trying to succeed for like 50 years now, whatever, sure. the whole time.
Right.
In California. So I kind of get that dynamic. So I didn't need all the fleshing out of like, oh, this happened.
No, I didn't either.
What I was surprised, though, was just me personally, was how the journalists were kind of following the Western forces around. And they would seem, if that were to happen today, would be like what we're trying to fight back would be the Western forces, like the rebels per se.
Right. So let me ask you a question, because I actually kind of understand that a little bit, only in the sense of, did you get a sense, what was your take on Nick Offerman's presidency? Because the way they kind of make it flow is you get a little bit of Trumpism, and you get a little bit of, like, because the FBI disbanding was kind of like a wink and a nod, and then the whole, you know, if you're gonna, they were talking about the potential interview of the him, and they were saying words like Mussolini and stuff like that. So I was like, and they said he was in his third term, so that's obviously an extension of powers and outside of the current setup. So to me, they made it, painted it like he's possibly running a kind of a dictatorship, but like kind of, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's how things got too far and tipped. So, but to me, the movie never felt like that scenario. They would just drop things here and there. So, and again, trying to make a war movie where they don't want to get too political and they don't want to go too much of a bend, but they spend the whole end of the movie kind of running the SEAL Team 6, programming, the almost like the attack on bin Laden, sort of, and in a video game-ish, heavy action, heavy artillery kind of way to get to a goal here, and yet we're not supposed to feel anything about it because we're not supposed to know a lot, or we don't interact with it a lot. So it's interesting how, like I said, cold, detached, but realistic problems, you know, a lot of like stuff going around. It's a interesting back and forth to where I'll just put it out there. I admire this movie. I think the craftsmanship is awesome. I think the performances are very good, but there's a lot where, like, I would say this person didn't get a lot to do, or I would say there's not enough details for me to feel something at key points, especially at the end. And some of it makes me actually question some of the things that go on in the end, because if I don't ride with certain characters, or I don't feel like that certain things were plausible for these characters, that's when I lose this movie a little bit, and it knocks my score down because of it.
Yeah, I could understand that. And I did pick up, it's funny, because I did pick up on the whole Mussolini quote that Sammy uttered that line to Joel.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, okay. So I kind of get the setup there as well. And that, the third act of this movie is where I don't say it took me out, or, but it did have some holes in there, like you said. Like, you had, and we won't talk spoilers now, but what happened to Sammy evoked, like, from that crew is like one set of emotions. And then what happens to Lee later, it's like, oh, well. Like, it just didn't match up.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't match up. And
at all.
And honestly, it's funny. I listened to some podcasts about stuff. I talked to some people who saw the movie too, and kind of like to get my thoughts together a little bit. And one of the things that came up was the switch stance, you know, the passing of the torch, whatever, or the conversations there in between Lee and Jesse. And Jesse is kind of the one, a lot of this moves either really fast, or is kind of confusing. And like you said, without getting into the details, the ending especially, I thought, just kind of, not comes out of nowhere, but I didn't feel a progression to.
Correct.
So, because you can't have Jesse one moment going through something very traumatic, puking all over herself, and feeling like just deflated.
Yeah.
And then within what? A few hours?
Yeah,
it feels like hero balling the fucking end of the movie, and then Kirsten Dunst basically doing the opposite when we're like,
it's falling apart.
She's so, like, they call her literally war torn to her face. She's, quote, seen everything. She's covered everything. So how is this any different? Because what? Because there's an added person here that we're supposed to feel that they have some connection to, that she feels some obligation or seeing herself in, that she now is completely, like you said, it's not PTSD. It is what they kind of try to show, that she has a level of PTSD, because what, it got personal? You don't think there was anything personal that happened in the last 20 years that she was probably working?
I took it as it was an accumulation over the years that finally caught up to her. Like, she reached her boiling point, you know?
I guess, but again, that's kind of my main issue with this movie in terms of, like, going over the moon about it. Because, again, yeah. I liked it. But is, these are the characters we're dealt.
Yeah.
We meet them at a specific point, and this movie covers, what, 3 days?
3 days.
Maybe. So, I mean, it's a lot to ask of these characters to go from, like, especially some hardened people to go switch stance, and when not all of them go that way. Because Joel, you want to talk about a character that also doesn't kind of make sense. He seems to be the most in with Lee, and when things happen at the end, he kind of just goes, whatever. Yeah. In many ways, kind of very shruggy, very aggro in a way. And, it doesn't make sense. And Jesse, the same thing, where she goes from puking to hero ball. So
that was my biggest issue, like I said, especially with Joel and Jesse to an extent. But like Joel's like, okay, you did this on this one occasion that happened like 6 hours ago, but now you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, watching this film, it reminded me, not of at all, but director to director, how we were covering The Covenant, and we said we like Guy Ritchie's style, but that was the most straightforward film he's probably ever directed.
Right.
I kind of feel the same way about Garland in this film.
It is, like, the most straightforward. That's true.
It's not weird, twisty. And I like Garland outside of Men. We both can agree on that. Like, I'm a big fan of his. So, and it was shot beautifully. Like, the wars, like the firefights they had, the military movements.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
I thought were just fantastic. Yeah, fantastic.
Now, again, just to lay out for people, this is the most expensive movie A24 has ever made. But even for that, I think the budget was only 50-something million.
It was 50.2 or something like that. Yeah.
And this is a lean movie. It's like an hour and 45 at most. And it was
beautifully shot.
It's clean. Yeah, it's beautifully shot. And not to get you too off track, my whole thing with the trajectory of Garland's career is I think Ex Machina is still his masterpiece to me.
It is.
That was right out the gate. And I think the reason for that is that is the most intimate portrayal of his messaging heavy movies that he's done. And, well, maybe Closer is Men, but obviously that's going in a different direction. But what I think is, you know, it goes from that. You're talking about Annihilation, where it's like it's an environmentalism scare movie, but at least it's like a group on a mission. You could follow that. It has a strong messaging, but also has more entertainment value. Then it slowly kind of, I didn't watch Devs, his TV show, but, like, you know, as far as his movie stuff go, I think it's slowly getting more message heavy, worse characters, or at least less ones that I want to root for, or that I feel like I have a firm grasp on, or isn't so obvious that I just kind of shrug them off. Like, I think he peaked early and now is kind of like backtracking a little bit.
Yeah, I agree there. Because like you said, and he's like many other directors, which I haven't listed them, but yeah, they come out the bat and they hit a home run and it's like, you're still waiting for them to reach that summit again. And it's like, but I think for me, he comes close with this film. Again, I appreciate the linear straightforwardness of this film.
Sure.
I just had a laugh in that last act because I was looking at the Secret Service guys. Mm-hmm. And no offense, I don't care what your duty is. You are bailing. You are so out of there.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, man. That just made me, personally, that just made me laugh just thinking about if I was in that situation. If I had a squad in there, like, no, we're out. Yep. We're out. Here's my white flag. Yep. I surrender, dude.
Well, when you have a whole freaking army, you know, bearing down on you and you're the last guys, I'd be bailing out too. I'm sorry. Like, I guess, unless you're so committed to the cause, which maybe I guess you have to be at that point, but you're going to die regardless. Like, there's no way they're taking you hostage or whatever.
Right.
But,
at all. And today at work, I had a coworker who's like, well, I heard it's really political, and just to echo what we said before, it's not. It really isn't. So if you think you're going to get upset about the potential politics in this movie, that's no worries. Just leave that at the door because it's really not. It's just, like you said, it's a film about through a certain lens of eyes here with these journalists and the press. This is called the press.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because Lee utters, no, Jesse utters a line when they're at the car wash, mm-hmm. when they meet up to get gas.
Yeah.
And it just comes to play in the third act. And I was like, well, he kind of foreshadowed that somewhat, if you paid attention to that line. That's exactly what Jesse does. But right. I just thought in the manner of which that happened, like you said, that's probably the most upsetting thing. It's like, I just wish they would have done something. It's like they almost needed 20 more minutes or maybe a half more hour of this film to kind of flesh out some things. But I didn't, and a lot of people I heard had an issue with the ending. And I really didn't. I'm like, how else do you expect this movie to end? Like, it ended. Like, it didn't end abruptly. Like, they got to where they needed to go.
I was about to say, it's a mission movie, so.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to go heavy into other details, well, what else are you going to do, I guess?
Yeah, he got his quote-unquote interview with the president.
Yeah, well, we can get into that in a minute.
But yeah, and that was it. So, I will say I like this film a lot. More so than I thought I was going to, especially once I adjusted to my expectations when watching this film. Like, almost like I said, mid-film, or as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, my thought process started to change here, and I was focusing on different aspects of the film rather than what I thought I'd be going into it. So
here's a good kind of in-row question, okay? What did you take away from this movie? Because, again, if it tries so hard to not be political or divisive, or in a way it's an anti-war movie, even though obviously it gets into a lot of war action and a very war-centric ending, what do you think the movie wants you to take away from the movie?
Ooh, that's a great question, man.
Because again, those type of thoughts is like, if I have to think about it too hard, I wonder if it, how much it succeeded, and that's where I get a little lost.
Right. I can see the anti-war slant to it, but there's a couple scenes where it goes back to showing not human nature, but like what we are inherently inside. Like when they showed the beginning of the movie with Jesse and the New York situation, mm-hmm. with the guy who runs in with the flag and they're attacking the police. I'm like, you know, instinctually people now, especially in this era, in the time we're living, are becoming more selfish and animalistic and, you know, use the word savages if I want, but like just try to solve everything with anger and
sure
fear and, you know, and that invokes me more than anything else. It invokes my rage when I see people act like that. Like, it just gets me. So yeah, he did invoke that a little bit, but so I was just thinking about the human character itself and I don't think it is, but it does. It's not far-fetched about like something like that rumbling starting to, you hear rumblings of that kind of stuff happening. So,
sure,
you know, but the anti-war thing that I took that away too. It's just, yeah.
Well, that's why it's an interesting point in where they take the movie, right? Because this is the end of the war in a way.
Yeah.
So that's the thing too. You give very few details of like how we got here. It seems like a movie that's not interested. It seems more interesting getting the look and feel right of what Civil War would look like in this country. It's like very invested in those things. And I think in that it kind of succeeds. Like, it says a lot of the things that you were saying, right? Like, I think at the highest highs of this movie is probably not the end, not even really much of the beginning either, for me anyway. I think its best moments are the Jesse Plemons thing, number one.
Yep.
The moments at that kind of I don't even know what it's called. It was like a Winter Wonderland setup. It was some kind of like weird sniper scene
there.
Yeah, in the middle there, and just like and the car wash and the gas station. Those type of mini moments of just sheer fear and intensity are the best this movie does, I think, because it really encapsulates the ugliness and kind of almost like how it turns ugly, even though there's no like, well, I'm this type of person. I'm this type of, it's really just this world gave me a reason to be an asshole, free reign to be an asshole, and let me just go crazy because I can, because you're in a wartime and these people thrived in wartime in some level of ugliness, of course, but like, this is what it would devolve into. And it's weird that we see the other side, which I don't think works as well, where it's like this kumbaya fucking, you know, camping refugee sort of scenario that they also come upon. You know what I mean? Where people are like all happy around a bum fire and just hanging out amongst each other. I think that was like, really? Where you're like probably years into civil war and you're all just like, yay, we're in a football field together or whatever. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But that didn't work.
But, okay. Yeah, to just to piggyback back to that Winter Wonderland scene, it's like, I think Joel asked one of the guys, like, did you get orders from WF? Like, what are you doing here? And the guy basically said he was shooting at us. For like, and we don't even know, like, he asked him if he was friendly or not. And he's like, I don't know. He just started shooting at us. I think it could bring out the worst in us. Like, it just, like the gas station. I really thought something was going to go down at that scene.
Right.
I really did.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't. It was just a couple hillbillies in their gas station. But I think that's more of what we would actually see, especially during those back roads that they had to take into DC. So they went back roading because they couldn't take the highways. So it was kind of a glimpse of what I think would be a natural setting or course of how some areas would handle that certain situation. Like that town that act like nothing happens. Like,
right.
Where they're like, you had put it very appropriately at the top of the podcast, like trying on the dress.
Yeah.
Putting the hat on.
Yeah.
But even then they had people at the rooftops. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah, I thought that normalcy, it's funny, right? Because I think Kirsten Dunst and maybe even some of the others mentioned how it's like, oh, their parents are just home thinking the war's not going on or acting like a war's not going on.
It was Jesse's character said her parents were in Missouri acting like this wasn't happening. Dunst's character is like, my parents are in Colorado acting like
doing
this
the
isn't
same
going
thing.
On.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, good? Sorry. Because if you think about the kind of the odd tribalism we have in political nature here and everything else, like if somebody was like, pick a side, Biden or Trump or whatever, I'd be like, oh, man, really? Like, I have to? No, I'm just going to like hang out on my porch in the Midwest and just wait for you idiots to blow everything else up and hope it doesn't reach. It, you know what it reminds me of? And this is why I kind of go in another way that I'll talk about in a second. Doesn't, because it's a road movie in a sense, because it's a mission heavy road movie. They're trying to get to a specific spot to try to get a specific story before things end and all these things. It reminds me of a Walking Dead kind of scenario, or like a zombie road scenario like those, like a Last of Us, you know, these type of things, because they're all just trying to like survive out in the Wild West of what the road delivers, while also trying to get to a place that might deliver them some answers, some closure, or just peace of mind. I don't know. It's hard to know what they're trying to really aim for besides just like kind of doing the job. Like the one thing I would say I'm curious about for you too is that, I don't know. I think they're a little light on the journalism thing being an American, because right now, it's so funny when Jesse Plemons is like, what kind of an American are you? And I realized some of that was like geographical and trying to see and trying to snuff out the guy who was clearly like China or China based or whatever. And he was trying to kind of get to a point, but also trying to snuff out what forces you're on or what side you're on. The journalism in this country is kind of the same. And I find it interesting that they were trying to make it like the most down the middle of sorts, where it's like, we're from Reuters, I believe, or they mentioned New York Times. And
New
again,
York Times.
So that's could be construed as like obviously a more liberal paper and, you know, going against certain ways. So you would think they'd almost have like opinions of their own. Or like how they figure these things. And it comes out a little bit, but not a lot. So these journalists, I almost want to be like, well, what kind of journalism are you? Because there's a lot of bad journalism, bad faith journalism in this country too. So it's kind of interesting that we never saw a version of that. But we'll see a version of bad faith people on the road, but we won't see any bad faith journalism. Even, I thought it was weird that he kind of like confronted the people who were embedded with the Western forces. Like he was kind of mad. Joel was, and like some of them was like, these embedded fucking assholes talking this. It's like, whoa, 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 why do you have a temper about these people?
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
Like, are you just mad that you're going to get scooped? Or are you mad that, you know, that they're embedded? Because you said it with such venom to say that they were embedded. So, I don't know. That got me a little bit too, where I just didn't see all the motives. And some of it just comes out of nowhere, and certain characters kind of flip out of nowhere. And that's where, like, I thought this movie was not a great success in a character sense, but I thought as a kind of thought experiment, playing out the cards, setting a certain atmosphere and mood in terms of, like, what can happen, what can go on, all those type of things, I think it succeeds well in the craftsmanship of that. But the character stuff, I keep kind of, sometimes I'll dig at something and I go, fuck no. And in fact, that line that Jesse says that I, you know, used in the intro for you. Yeah, if she's like, yeah, I am too war torn to put on a dress, because yeah, we're in the middle of fucking civil war. Who are you? Yeah. Like, you green young journalist, like, who's about to lose their shit, like, probably 10 minutes
several
later in this
times.
Movie.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, several times.
Multiple times. Yeah. You just came from that car wash thing, and you're like, ooh, but a dress. You know, it's like, what? And then later, you're, like, puking on yourself. It kind of really dances with it who does. These characters are. And that's why I just couldn't put my arms around this movie. So a lot of people who, like, I really respect as critics and really maybe even higher fans maybe of Alex Garland than I am, but I'm quite a fan. They seem to wrap their arms around this movie a lot more and think it has more to take away or more to say. And I just can't fully get there with how they approach it.
I don't think it does. Like, I like you said, it makes you think, right? It invokes thought and talk like we are now, but it's not deep. You're right. It's not as deep as some people think it is, right? Or should
I don't
be.
See how, like, it can be, because if you're who you're following is not deep.
Right. So I think I had an issue with, like, you, and we already went over that, but, like, I was caught up with all the sugary substance of what else was in the movie that I kind of, like, I got an issue with this, but I'm going to table that because I'm enjoying everything else that this film is presenting. Also, quick moral, kids and folks listening to this, stock up on Canadian money. Because
they kind of just flipped that out there too, where it was
they
like,
did.
"Why
unless
is
you
it?"
Want to pay yeah, exactly. I got confused with that part. I'm like, "Why is American? Unless you want to pay $300 for a ham sandwich, I mean, you know, you're more than welcome to do that."
Yeah,
but I didn't understand why the Canadian money is like the money of people are exchanging now. I okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
where are you gonna take that Canadian money at now? You're gonna, like, okay.
Right.
I don't know. And it threw me for a loop.
Yeah, and we don't know what their involvement is in this, and like how that all crosses over. So again, those are those kind of like tossed out things that you're supposed to, like, possibly take something away. And I just thought of it as like, okay, I guess that could be a thing, but like,
Right.
Who the fuck has that? And you know. What, and if you're going over the border, why would you bother coming back? Like, how are you getting the Canadian influx of money? Again, there's so many things where you can just have more questions than answers with opening doors like that. And that's where this movie, here's what I love about this movie. I love that we can have a long discussion about a movie and be like passionate about it and still maybe not get everything about it or not love everything about it, but still be like, I like that this is here and that people can have this conversation. We can have this as cinephiles and people living in this country, in this environment, political climate, in a election year, and whatever else you want to say, that is this a type of movie that we need right now before we end up getting, you know, the Trump apprentice movie later on in the year, or any of these type of things where it's going to be more, you know, maybe sledgehammer over your head about politics at the moment. But I don't know. My thing with this, like I said, I've said it many times, is just, I think it's an admirable effort. I wonder if it would get better in a second viewing too, but I think I would. It's interesting. I look at the scores and I go, I'm kind of almost to where they are, so I'm not far off. But I also kind of look at it and go, oh man, it's getting really well received for something where I'm like, characters that don't stick with me in a certain way after I leave the theater.
Right.
So
no, I agree there.
Yeah. And I feel that way about, I don't know if you ever go through this too, but I see a lot of it, especially the more I've been doing like heavy, like between podcasting and writing and doing more criticism. There's a certain faction of like cinephile that cares less about character and cares more about atmosphere, mood, craftsmanship, and will like give higher scores because they appreciate those things and less about story and character. And I'm one of those people that if you don't give me the proper story character combinations, I'm not out, but I won't be like singing the praises and putting it on the pedestal. So
yeah, I'm with you. Like, and I've said this for years and years and years. I don't care what movie I'm watching. I have to have a character I can latch onto, yeah, right? And follow and be invested in, whether he's a good guy or she's a good guy or a bad guy, but right, I have to be invested in their story as it unfolds,
yeah,
and see some character development. So I'm a person who cares more. This is funny about the crap I watch, but like,
it's true. It's very true. But yeah, I'm with you.
I can appreciate, like with the artsy films, like you so watch, like I appreciate good filmmaking. I really do. So like, as much as I appreciate the atmosphere in some movies, and sometimes it will lend me to give a slightly higher score,
right,
but what will balance it out for me, will knock it down a little bit, is the story and the character development, and someone I can, again, latch onto. So yeah, I kind of balance it too. I won't go overboard with one or the other, because to me, they have to have like a nice intermingling, let's say, yeah, of story and atmosphere and all that kind of stuff that goes with this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm probably right there with you score wise.
I'm basically a 3.5 if we want to start that conversation.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I was going between 3.5 and 4. And I'm not going to use Andrew cheat code, so I'm not giving it a 3.75.
Yeah, yeah.
But first viewing, I'll give a 3.5. Like you said, I feel like I want to watch this again, maybe not in the theater, but when it comes to one of the streaming services,
yeah,
watch it for the second viewing, knowing fully what I'm getting into. Now I can look for other things as this movie progresses.
Yeah.
Might bump it up to a 4. But as we stand, I did really like this movie, and I ultimately landed at a 3.5.
Yeah, my fear is, as I did open that door where I was like, maybe it would improve upon a second viewing. The only thing that I wonder is, like, this movie does get aided by the theatrical experience. So I will put that out there, that people should try to watch it in a theater.
Absolutely.
It does, between the action stuff or even just the intensity of certain things, you want to be in the theater for that. So that's my little, you know, advice or whatever on that. And also my fear, where I'm like, if they had all those elements for me in first viewing, I guess the only thing, as I would say, is like, maybe I should see it a second time in a theater, but I don't know if that's going to happen. That's a rare occasion, because
yeah,
we
time
just,
wise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Like, even for how much, you know, this is multiple weeks now, but it's like how much we've sung the praises of Dune Part 2, and I haven't seen that a second time in theater, but yeah, I would absolutely if I had the time. But again, who knows if that movie continues, even though we kind of were lamenting the fact that it's going to PVOD soon enough. But yeah, that movie, again, like, it's just, I saw it in IMAX, got the full experience, I think, and it helped. But it also had just a really compelling personal character narrative that I think just drives that movie all the way through, and has a lot of multiple plots all converging and everything else. It's so well constructed. This movie, I'm like, it's put together. I said, I like the fact that he used the journalism to kind of pull out a little bit and not make it so one-sided or another. And I don't know if I would like a version of this movie that would be more political, honestly.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there, because like I said, I didn't need all that. I didn't need the backfilling of that.
No.
So I was good where I was at.
But I just maybe just needed more from their characters, which is tough when you're trying to be cold and distant as far as their characterization, in a way.
Right.
So that's, I think, the tough line this movie goes in. I really want to, like, you know, give you kudos for the Full Metal Jacket second half, though. And in a way, I almost want to be like, but there's a reason why people don't fully invest in the second. The second half is very good. Don't get me wrong. I like that movie, but it took me a while because I watched it, you know, initially as a teenager. And of course, when you're a teenager, you're all about Harley Ermey and, yeah. and that whole early stuff and Vincent D'Onofrio and everything else. And it's quite the come down to get into War, which is a big loaded statement to say, right? So, but it shows you because it was heavy characters in the initial and just the, the atmosphere they create in those barracks and everything else. So that way War seems almost like a treat. Yeah. You know, it's like I had to go through hell to go into hell. So it's an interesting approach. These people, I think I just wish I knew. You know, it'd be interesting. And I'm just spitballing. It just came to me. If we saw Dunst or any of these people, if they worked together in a different environment before we got here.
Right.
That'd be interesting. Kind of see the lineage a little bit and what they were like or what people kind of say about, I don't know, in the moment.
Yeah.
The other thing I would ask you too, because this was on my thing, do you think this works less because it's kind of now versus like when you're watching Apocalypse Now, there was some time we knew the beats of what Vietnam was, so you can kind of go deeper. And the same thing with Platoon. You had like a 15-20 year gap between the war and the movie itself, and a lot of these World War II movies we appreciate and things like that, they all come with some distance where we kind of know the beats of what that war was or the result of that war and kind of know who's the white hat, black hat in a way, or maybe the movie takes a flip turn and be like, were we the good guys? You know, and you, but it, you know where you're flipping. This movie is now-ish and it doesn't have a lot of like detail. So it kind of is hard to work with that environment if it's just kind of on the paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I honestly, that was one of the things I kind of didn't mind. And I liked the fact that it was in the now, right? I did, because from the landscape we're at, again, it kind of mimics some future crazy possibility, but like I hear rumblings all the time about that. And so I do appreciate like this could be a foreshadowing if we keep going down this path, like this is what it's going to look like, you know, like take heed people, because this is what it would be like. So I did appreciate the fact like it's now and possibly future, you know, like who knows, but I did appreciate the fact that this kind of film is out right now, maybe like right now before the election. But like if this came out, you know, maybe last year or next year,
yeah,
I'd feel a little different about it. But I did appreciate the fact that it's in kind of present day or like you said, now-ish. So yeah, I like that fact.
See, do you have like a movie in mind that kind of speaks to the now or doing something kind of in the moment that could compare? Because the only thing that I had on my mind besides something like Apocalypse Now, just as far as like how an approach, a construction approach, I was just like, How to Blow Up a Pipeline that came out last year was a very kind of like now thinking movie in a very now setting with kind of where it kind of just goes through the motions of how you would do such a thing, who would do such a thing, and follow these characters. I don't think you saw that movie.
I did not.
But that movie I thought was, which ironically is getting similarly scored, but I think that movie is more successful because it follows in a certain way of like how they get to something, a mission critical thing, a very deep character study, seeing how these people interact, seeing how they got there. They do like a nice lineage, flashbacks, all these things to get you to a point where this movie doesn't. And that's why I think that movie succeeds a little bit more. And that's why I'm wondering, is there another version in your head that speaks in the same way?
Yeah, no, you kind of caught me off guard with that one. I
know you mentioned The Covenant, but that's really kind of...
Yeah, that's a different movie altogether, yeah. Right?
That's really apolitical because it's more, it's very mission critical and kind of questions how we do things. So if you want to say it's not apolitical, but it's it takes tact against the army itself, I guess, right?
Yeah, it does slant towards that. But no, I can't think of anything on top of my head. I know there's some TV shows dancing around in my head, but that was more of like a character study of like how humans or how we would react and what we would kind of morph into and, you know, become when something like our true nature, like our inner Walter Whites, like how many people have inner Walter Whites that come out during situations. But no, nothing movie wise comes to the top of my head about like now.
Yeah.
That kind of is like a movie like this right now.
Yeah. And like I said, it does move a little bit like your Walking Dead's Last of Us post.
Yeah, it does.
Because it seems post-apocalyptic, even though it does seem closer to present.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. It has a lot on its mind, but I wonder if it's too thin for me to just wrap around. That's all.
We're in the same boat with this movie. And just a quick note, as far as like Alex Garland films, I still put this behind Annihilation. I really enjoyed that. So for me, it's Ex Machina, Annihilation, and then this movie.
Yeah, which is why I was saying he's, for how talented he is, how he's sort of backsliding, and I think it's because of his characters.
Right.
And that's, it's still very.
And it's a big step up from Men. So
it is. You know? Yeah. Yeah, if your worst day or like one of your worst days is still a 3.5, 3.75 area, you're pretty damn good. So I don't want this to become a complaint thing. I just feel like I needed to get a lot of questions out because I think I know how I feel and it's kind of come out in how we've been talking about it. But it's one of those movies that I know other people are going to be like, you know, tossing around, is this in the best picture category? Whatever. I can't see it. But of course, Doom Part 2, I think, is a masterpiece and it will probably be up for best picture. But I'd be like, how are we not like saying this is best picture right now and could be for a long time until we get to the fall? But yeah, it's an interesting year. This movie's probably one of the better movies of the year, but I just have a lot of questions. So yeah, that's where I sit. So good conversation, man. I like this.
Yeah.
I liked getting into all of this because the weird thing is that I think we're agreeing a lot. We're hitting the same numbers. We're talking about a lot of the same things, but there's still probably more on people's minds or more conversations that could be had about it. And I love it.
Yeah. And especially because of word of mouth of this movie, I do think that it will maintain some steam a little bit down the road. Maybe not this weekend because there's a lot coming out, but I do think
that's my fear. It's going to get swallowed up a little bit.
It is going to get swallowed up a little bit, but I still think for an A24 movie and a movie of this magnitude, I do think because of the heavy talk and everything you see online and people's reactions, I do think it's going to continue to kind of make money and do well enough for A24 as well. Yeah. It should. Like you said, this movie is a theater movie. This is a movie you should go see in the theater.
Yeah. And my interesting thought too is international. How does that sit?
Yeah.
Because a lot of international films, US films that go international that kind of like have some kind of political bent or showing the US as like getting their comeuppance or as a hellscape or any of these kind of things going on, they usually eat that stuff up, especially in certain countries. So I'd be interested. I was actually saddened to see there was no international box office return, that it was that all that 25 mil is all domestic.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see if there was a response overseas. So I don't know if they're doing a slow play on that or seeing how it took here first and then take it overseas, but that's the thing that I'm going to keep an eye on. And for a movie that costs 50 something million plus whatever, they need to make probably like 100 million to probably come clean on this movie,
right?
And so that's a interesting perspective, because 25 open doesn't speak to that. It speaks probably closer to like it'll make 50 or 60. So I don't know.
Right. It just said, I just read something where it made 4.3 million internationally, but they didn't say where. They just said it opened 17 locations internationally, made 4.3 mil.
Well, it didn't report to Box Office Mojo, so I'm curious if how that moved forward. But if that's true, then that means they're like closer to 30.
Yeah.
In terms of the opening weekend. So again, but you're still probably sitting where that's probably usually your opening weekends, like, you know, half ish around your full number, what you do domestically. Right. So I don't know, man. They got some work to do on that front. But this episode has no more work to do because I am spent, and I'm sure you are too.
Yeah.
That was a long talk about one film.
So sorry, people. We did say this was going to be a quickie.
Yeah.
It did not turn into one.
Yeah. Well, hey, we might still chop under an hour here, which is fine. I'm good with that, man. But yeah, great job by you as always. We have a lot of other things that maybe we're kind of cooking around. As you mentioned, three movies that we're interested in come out this weekend between Abigail, Sasquatch Sunset, and Guy Ritchie's new film with your two boyfriends there, Henry Cavill and the giant Mr. Reacher himself coming out this weekend. So we have all that on our minds. Plus, we have a bunch of TV that we've been going through, including you and I are both deep into Fallout, while you're also watching Sugar. You're almost we're almost done with Shogun in terms of that. You've watched Three Body Problem and all these things. So we will get to some TV heavy stuff coming up. But you know, that's why right now all you got to do is get out there, subscribe to this podcast.
That's right.
Give us a 5-star review. Tell a friend. Get around the campfire, you know, in your refugee camp, getting the last podcast on the planet during the Civil War. And just get around, man, and just listen to us. Check out our perspective. Anything else, Shane? Like, are you looking forward to this weekend? Or what's big on your mind? Anything before we go here?
No, just like what you said, like for me, like I'm actually looking forward to Abigail a little bit more than the Guy Ritchie film, but they're like equal. So like those are my two big things, man. Like this is my kind of weekend.
Yeah. Very genre laden year so far.
Yeah, man. And I'm ready to just get naked and dive right in, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Abigail is like vampire Ready or Not. And I enjoyed Ready or Not. So that'll be fun. And yeah, Guy Ritchie just doing Guy Ritchie things, especially after The Gentleman. Made us both very happy is a delight to see. So like I said, subscribe, come back here. We got lots to talk about, so be sure to come back for next time on Recent Activity.